We are scheduled to talk about counseling women going through a divorce. This is always, always heartbreaking. In my years of counseling, I've been certified as a NANC counselor since 1989. But it's always difficult to work with a woman going through a divorce because their emotional pain is so great. And they often feel overwhelmed. They maybe not know what is happening. They might be confused, hurt, guilt-laden, scared, angry, grieving, self-pitying, and desperate, even if they are Christians. Often, very often, there are huge financial problems, not enough money to pay the bills, much less hire a lawyer. The children are upset. Her parents are grieved and are angry. Everyone involved at various times wants revenge. Divorce is often, I've heard this many times, worse than a death. It would have been easier if he had died. It's embarrassing, it's humiliating, it's devastating, and it always breaks a vow made before God on the part of one or both of them. So I want to do a couple of things here in this workshop. I want to touch briefly on the so-called Christian divorce recovery material and how to then to help your counselee recover from the recovery material if this is a problem. Give you some practical tips on helping them to think and respond rightly and thus give glory to God. Now, my goal always in every lecture is to put as much material in it as I can and give you a thorough handout so you have a resource. So I'm not going to be able to read and explain all these scripture, but I'm just going to say, like I'll cite the scripture, but I want you at home to go back over this and look up the scripture and be able to help your counselees. I have three presuppositions for this lecture. There are two grounds for divorce, two biblical grounds, and only two. One is adultery, Matthew 19:9, and the unbeliever departing, 1 Corinthians 7:15. And if you have questions about that, read Jay Adams' book, Marriage, Divorce, and Remarriage. The second presupposition: if a wife is divorcing her husband and she does not have clear biblical grounds and she will not repent, she should be disciplined by her church. Matthew 18:15-18. And then the third presupposition, the focus for this workshop is going to be on a wife who is a Christian and thus wants to do what's right and give God glory and wisely fight for her marriage. So let's talk about recovering from the divorce recovery counseling. I read two and some of a third book, which I think fairly well typifies the Christian psychological approach to going through a divorce. The first one was Fresh Start by Whiteman and Peterson. This is very popular divorce recovery material. They have a Fresh Start recovery workbook. Many churches across probably the world, but certainly America, use these. They have divorce recovery group therapy and go through this workbook. These seminars are held over 50 times a year, every year, and they have been held in all 50 states. Another book I read is called Formally a Wife by Welby O'Brien. This is a survival guide for women facing the pain and disruption of divorce. And then the third book is called Breaking and Mending by Mary Lou Redding. It's an upper room book from Nashville. She writes, grace is at work in our lives and in the lives of others to bring us to the point that we ask God for wholeness. Her hobbies include reading and spirituality and psychology. She's not a believer, but a Christian publisher published this. This is the book I didn't read entirely because by the time I got into it, I was fit to be tied. And I'm like, I'm beginning to sin. I've got to stop reading this book. It's awful. All right, let me summarize this Christian / psychological thought. There's a lot of talk about wounds, inner pains, needs, insecurities from the past. Here's a quote from one of them. I want to be accepted and affirmed for who I am as a person. Neither of us was getting our deep needs met. Then secondly, and all of these things are very man-centered, very maybe with a little tiny Christian veneer on it. Secondly, feelings of worthlessness. This came up over and over again. Until that moment in counseling, I had not grasped the truth that God loves us unconditionally, not for our potential, but for who we are, our inherent worth. It's our worth. It's me. It's how special I am. That's the focus. When I struggle with feelings of worthlessness, I'm learning to focus directly on my value as a person. You know, where is the glory of God in this? It's just not there. That the God of the universe, our Creator, was willing to die for us makes the most incredible statement of our worth. I get into self-esteem trouble when I place the wrong people or circumstances in a position to dictate my worth. And then thirdly, summary of the Christian psychological approach. They justify, some of them, unbiblical divorce with supposed noble motives or simply not addressing the issue. In answer to prayer about whether to divorce or not, God gave me a great gift of certainty. You'll hear this. I prayed and God gave me peace. Well, the peace that they have is not from God if they're not obeying God. The peace that they have is because they just made up their mind. You know, they settled it. Redding admits that neither she nor her husband had scriptural grounds for divorce. She said, we can do our very best and still end up in a rotten situation. And then number four, some of this divorce recovery stuff is based on Elizabeth Kubler-Ross's stages of grief. If you're not familiar with that, you need to do some research on that. She was not a Christian. She was a psychiatrist. And she studied death and dying and grief and how people accept that and all that. And so this fresh start material just keys in on that. They call it the slippery slope down, denial, anger, bargaining, depression. And then the group therapy and you talk about it and talk about it and time goes on, then you go back up to acceptance and forgiveness. Here's a quote from Fresh Start. Some Christians, ashamed of their depressed feelings, wall themselves off from God. But there is no need to hide from God. He's the one who created this healing process. He knows all about depression. You can bring him your questions, your honest feelings, and he won't be offended. If one day you're not sure whether he exists, tell him so. That's blasphemy. That is horrible. Don't ever counsel your counselee to shake their fist at God like that. And then point C, refuting this Christian psychological influence, make your counsel God-centered instead of man-centered. Remind them of the big picture. God is our creator. We are his creatures here to serve him and give him glory. And use these scriptures with her. 1 Corinthians 10:31. She could think, and I often suggest a thought to my counselees. Doesn't have to be my words, but the gist of it. My responsibility is to love God perfectly, by obeying his word